for our time together here this morning, typically if you're a guest here today, we follow the theme that we begin in our morning Bible studies. And so our theme this morning, somebody help me out. Our theme this morning is reverence. And so we're going to chase that same theme. What we do, we start in our morning Bible studies with a theme. And we have some guides that take us Monday through next Saturday to prepare us or to help us live out what we've talked about today. And then next week we'll introduce a new theme. So we try to center our music, our scripture reading, our prayer time, all of our teaching around a theme so that when we walked out, we've kind of been impressed with things that are similar. And so we're going to try to do the same thing here today. This morning we were in 1 Samuel 14, but in this time together we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1. So if you've got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn there. If you don't have a Bible, there may be one in a pew around you, and you can use that. Feel free to use it. Matter of fact, if you don't have a Bible, if you'd let us know, we would love to go purchase a Bible for you and put it in your hands so that you could have God's Word whenever you want it, whenever you need it. So you just let us know. And it'll be on the wall also, and it's in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along there in just a minute. We'll be there shortly. But before we get there, I always like to talk. So let's talk for a minute. When you think of reverence, what do you think of? Okay, so we've got respect, we've got honor, we've got awe, and that awe is not like cute puppy kind of awe. Awe. It's like awesome, where there's no word for it, it just kind of blows your mind. Awe. Stood out in the field Thursday night and just looked up at the stars and it was like, there's no word to describe it. You know, I mean, it falls so short. Like, at my house, I can't see the stars. Granite City, we've got street lights, stuff like that. I mean, if it's a bright star, you can see it. But typically, we don't see stars in our yard. So I was out in the country this weekend and looking up and just like, this is amazing. Just in awe, you know. And so reverence has to do with things just like what you're talking about. Respect, honor, awe. It also has to do with terror and fear, and we'll talk through that a little bit here this morning. But just trying to get a grasp of who God is what we're going to be after. So if we took time to look it up in a dictionary, here's what it would say about reverence. It's to consider or treat with profound respect or awe. So there's two things going on there. Considering, we're thinking about it, and then to treat. So there's an action. So I'm not just going to let it consume my mind. It's going to influence my thoughts and my actions. And I'll see that lived out. So that's what we're going to try to do here this morning. Consider the reverence of God and what it looks like for us to reverence Him. So if you've got a Bible, let's go. Hey, 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 13. We're going to go to verse 23. And we're looking in here kind of through the window of Peter writing to some Christians. There were some people who had converted to Christ and they were suffering. They were being persecuted because they were Christians. And so Peter's writing to them to encourage them, tell them just to keep pressing on. He's reminding them of who Christ is and what He's done for them. And so don't quit, don't relent, don't give up. And He's also teaching them about how to conduct themselves. Even through suffering, we will conduct ourselves in ways that are pleasing to God. So 1 Peter chapter 1, let's go here to verse 13, and we'll go, like I said, to 23. It says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it's written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, then conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but you've been redeemed," is how that would carry on, verse 19, "with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And so it is here this morning. I want to look through a few things that we can understand from Peter as it relates to having reverence for God. All right, having reverence for God. So if you're going to follow along in your bulletin, you can. That's totally your choice. We've got bullets there, 1, 2, 3, and we'll hit those this morning. The first one would be this. Reverence for God begins with fear of God. Right? Reverence for God, before we will ever revere God, it's got to start with an understanding of who God is. And so let's talk about fear for a minute, because there's all sorts of fears. Right? So are you afraid of anything? So many of us are shaking our heads. Right? I'm kind of fearful of snakes. They tend to get me going in the wrong direction, get me worked up. People are afraid of heights. I heard a story this weekend of a teenage boy who was afraid of heights, and he was riding a roller coaster, and when it got to the very top, it quit. And he wouldn't get out of the car. Like, they had to walk everybody down the steps, and he couldn't get out. And his dad went on to tell the story how this little 16-year-old girl went up there, held out her hand, and helped this boy, tough teenage boy, down the steps. So sometimes we're afraid of heights. All sorts of fears, okay? So when it comes to fear of God, like in the Old Testament, it appears hundreds of times. Fear the Lord, the fear of God. So what are we talking about when it's about being afraid? Should we walk through the doors just like trembling? What's it look like to be someone who fears God? Let's go back to the text in verse 17. We'll see what it says. 1 Peter 1, verse 17 says, "Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear." So there's a few things this says to us. One thing it says initially is this. We are supposed to be afraid of God. Right? God's Word says, hey, live in what kind of fear? Reverent fear. And so He's calling us to this thing of living in fear. So in real simple terms, we could start there. We're going to progress, though. This also says to us that we should fear God for two reasons. One is because He's a judge, and also because He is a Father. Now, for many people on the planet, could be several people in this room, I don't know your heart, God does. But maybe you view God as a judge. Maybe when you think of God, you think of Him as somebody who I've heard one day I'm going to give an account to for how I've lived my life. And so He's going to judge me based on what I have done. So when I think of God in those terms, sometimes it brings terror. Remember a young boy who was here a few years ago who gave his life to Christ. And man, as he was listening to God, who was his judge, he felt the weight of his sin. And he sat in a pew afraid because he was concerned with how he would stand before God. And so for those people who think of God as judge and judge only, then there is this terror. Like, you may not believe in God, and I don't know where you stand on that, but if you do believe in God, but you think of Him as a judge, then that would be a scary moment. I mean, I think I'd walk into this room trembling. What are some of the comments people make why they can't come to church? If I came to church, what would happen? The ceiling would fall in, or the whole building would collapse. That's the idea that there's a terror there because of how I've lived. So there is a fear. But God is not just somebody to have reverent fear for. He's not somebody who's just a judge. What Peter goes on to say here, and he addresses people here as children, when he says you need to think of God as your Father. You need to think of God as a Father. And we'll talk about how that can happen here in just a moment. But as I think of God as judge only, Hebrews says it this way in verse 31 of chapter 10. It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So it totally makes sense that people would be terrified to come before God if they think of Him as judge and know Him as judge only. So there's reverent fear, what we're supposed to have. There's judge only kind of fear, or then there's this Father and judge kind of fear. So for those who have trusted in Christ as their only hope, He's not only my judge, He'll judge all of us, but He's my Father, and so I can approach Him as such. And those who've called out to Jesus to save them from their sins, those are the ones who can call God Father. Now, is there a fear for us? I mean, if you're a Christian, is there still fear of God? Absolutely. Okay? It's not the fear that my Father is going to cast me into hell. It's this great respect and awe and deep appreciation and love for who He is. And there's also a side of it that is a little bit terrifying. I mean, He's not just some old man sitting in a lazy boy with a gray beard that we're going to walk up to and shake his hand. And the Bible says out of His mouth came everything that we know and see. So He's a massive God. He's a powerful God. And so when I think, let's say here, last Sunday, I was in my office studying before the service, praying, and there was a peal of thunder that like lit this building up. And for about 15 seconds, there was a tremor within my chest. I mean, I felt kind of terrified because it was close and it just kept, rumbling. Where's thunder come from? Where's lightning come from? And that's just God. And He can create something like that that can put a tremor in my chest that makes me a little bit afraid. What a great, powerful God He is. So there is a side of it that's kind of like, we're not on the same playing field. You're my Father, but there's a big gap between who you are and who I am. And so when I think about God, yes, as a Christian, I have fear of Him. Not fear that He's going to cast me into hell. I have a fear of displeasing Him. I want to live for His honor. Psalm 89:7 says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around Him. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around Him. So as we think about reverence for God, it's got to start with fear. And so I'll either see Him as judge and be terrified that He's going to cast me into hell. Even if I don't believe in God, I'm going to have that, okay, that's what people are telling me that God is, so that's going to be rolling around in my mind. Or there's going to be this one where I can approach Him as Father, not only judge, but Father, and have a deep respect, awe for who He is. All right, secondly here, as we talk about reverence for God, it begins with the fear of God, but now it's going to come as I focus on my redemption. Reverence for God comes as we focus on our redemption. So for those who believed in Jesus Christ, for those who've called out to Him, understanding they're sinners and said, hey, save me. Will you please save me? And repented of their sins, Jesus has saved them. We've been redeemed. It's the picture of being bought back. It's that I found myself in a place that I can't do anything about my greatest need. And that's where God looked down and saw what my greatest need was, and He supplied everything that I needed. See, my sin puts me at odds with God. My sin puts me in a position where there is a debt that I owe God. The Bible says that sin separates us from Him, and He can have nothing to do with sin. So help me out here. Can I get to God by my good deeds? If I do enough good and it weighs out my bad, it trumps it, will God let me in? No, I mean, you can think whatever you want to think, but God has told us the way. Okay? So just because I do good, or just because I give money, just because I help people, just because somebody might say good things about me, doesn't mean squat to God. He could care less as it relates to my salvation. There's one way and only one way that I can be redeemed, and that's through Jesus Christ. And so let's go back to verse 18 and see how this happened. Let's focus on our redemption here for a moment. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. We tend to think silver and gold is everything. Right? We work overtime so we can get what? Money, gold, silver. And why do I want gold and silver? Because I want stuff, right? That's typically why I work. I don't know that people tend to work overtime because they can't wait to give it away. Would you give me 10 more hours this week so I can invest in somebody who has nothing? We work overtime because we got a big payment on something that we want. And that house and that car and that boat and those golf clubs and that motorcycle and my hobby and you name it. That's why I'm working often, is because of silver and gold. So that's what I desire. That's what I think is the greatest treasure. And what the writer here says is Silver and gold in the end is going to fail you. Matter of fact, you know what gold is in heaven? It's asphalt. I mean, we hold it in, especially right now, all these commercials about, man, the greatest investment on the planet is what? Gold. Put all your money in gold. Man, I'm going to be walking on it in heaven. Now, my job, I'll probably be sweeping it in heaven. I don't care. But that should show me, that should show us that God has not put priority on gold and money. And so why should I? That gold cannot gain me heaven. And so Peter says, remember, it's not through these things that you've been redeemed. You call God Father, and that's rightly so, because you've heard about Him and you've repented of your sin and asked Him to save you, and He has. And so you're His child. But it doesn't have anything to do with your traditions. It doesn't have anything to do with the way you were raised. Because my parents are Christians, does that mean I get in? No. And unfortunately, there are many parents who know that sad reality. There are many parents who wake up day after day after day and they beg God to intervene on the behalf of their children because they know that their salvation means nothing for them. I can't take my four daughters with me when I go. That'll be between them and the Lord. I can work to lead them, but that's their choice. That's their decision. And so he says, don't trust in your gold. Don't trust in your heritage or the tradition of men. What do I trust in? Verse 19, 1 Peter 1 says, you've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, who was a lamb without blemish or defect. And so what Peter is saying is this, you need to think about, we need to think about how we've been bought, how we've been redeemed. Focus on that, and that will create within me a deep reverence for God. Man, if somebody died for you, would you treat that lightly? No. I think you would forever thank that person. Even if you didn't like them to begin with, you would feel like you owed your life to that person. How could you possibly lay down your life for me? And so as I think about how I've been redeemed, it creates within me this deep respect and love and awe and reverence for my God. And so it's Jesus, and He's the one who's my focus of my redemption. I had a debt I couldn't pay, and Jesus willingly laid down His life. It's the picture of the songs we sang this morning, right? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved me. Right? Where does amazing grace come from? It's from God through Christ, and it flows down to me. It's been lavished all over me so that I could be forgiven. Man, I don't treat that lightly. The Bible says that should create within us, Peter says, this deep respect, this reverent fear for God. And so let's go to three here. I'm going to go ahead and progress. So think about reverence for God. It's got to start with fear, and it's going to come to me as I focus on how I've been redeemed. But here, third and last, it's going to impact the way that I live. See, it's one thing to say, okay, I see I should have a reverent fear, and I understand the idea of it being, you know, swelling up in me or welling up in me as I focus on what Jesus has done for me. But there's got to be more to it than just that. And you're right, there absolutely is. Let's go back to verse 17 of 1 Peter chapter 1. How do I live out reverence? How do I show it? Verse 17 reads this way. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. And so what does He call me here in this text? I am a foreigner. You know what that means? You go out of this country and you go into another country, you know what you are there? You're a foreigner. You're someplace that is not your home. And so Peter looks at these early Christians, and God has preserved it for you and I today, and he says, as Christians, you're foreigners here. 2604 is where I get my mail now, Pontoon Road. But that won't be the name of my street in heaven. And that won't be my little mansion. This is not where I belong. This is temporary. I'm a sojourner here. The old song says, I'm just a pilgrim passing through. And so Peter reminds them of that, and he says, listen, knowing that, then live your life with reverent fear. Conduct yourself in such a way that shows people that you believe there is a God who deserves to be revered. Verse 13 through 16 tells us how we can do it. He says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it's written, be holy because I am holy. And so this text here tells us a few things. It says we need to be ready for action. We need to be mentally alert. All right, that's the idea of having that sober mind. My mind has been prepped by the Word of God. It dwells within me through the Holy Spirit. And I am mentally alert for everything this world will throw at me. And so I'm no longer going to live in ignorance. I'm not going to return to those lustful ways of sin. He says, I'm going to live as God lives. I'm going to strive for holiness as my God is holy. So he says, be mentally alert. He also says, be focused, be disciplined. And that requires everything within us. Nothing that is worth anything is achieved without great focus and determination and discipline. But in simple terms, I think we could sum it up this way. To live with reverence for God is to live with the utmost respect for His mission. To live with reverence for God is to live with utmost respect for His mission. That I have set my life on course with Him. He is my Father, and whatever He has asked of me, I will do it. And so if you're going to try to pull me away from what God has asked me to do, the answer is no. It's not going to happen. You're going to try to get us sidetracked into things that don't really matter, even good things. God's not asked me to invest my life in good things. He's asked me to invest my life in God things. So it's an utmost respect for His mission. It's to say that I'm fully dedicated to His purpose. And so I'm living this morning for His honor. It's to say I'm living this morning for His fame. It's that I want people to see Jesus Christ through my life. So I want you to think about it for a moment as we begin to progress through the closing here. Conduct yourself with reverent fear, living with utmost respect, dedicated, devoted, determined to accomplish God's mission through my life. Would you say, can I say that I'm living for God's name or God's fame? So I think it's easy to come into a building, even as people who attend here regularly, and say, yes, I'm living for God's glory and God's name. Okay, prove it. We do this often here. What have we done in the last 6 days that proves that my heart and mind is aligned with how God has set me here? And we answered, how? You don't have to tell me. There's got to be a whole lot more to it than just showing up at a building and putting your money in. If there's not, I'm out. There's got to be a whole lot more to it than just singing some songs and praying some prayers and dressing it up pretty. If there's not, I'm out. I don't want any part of that. Because that's not what this calls us to. There's so much more. And so as I look at my life, as you look at your life, would you honestly say you're living for God's glory? Here's the way that I need to really break that down. If God's glory is not my ultimate goal, then in context of this message today, you know what that makes me towards God? Ma'am? It makes me His enemy. It means that I am irreverent. Did you catch that? I mean, we talk about things that are irreverent like it's a bad disease. Right? You would never be irreverent towards whatever. We treat that like it's terrible. The truth of the matter, it is. And so for me to walk in and say, listen, God's glory, okay, it's somebody else, or I can do that sometimes, but I've got a life to live, silver and gold, silver and gold. I like it. And so I want to earn it, and I want to live it, and I want to do my dream. That's fine. You can live how you want. But what the Bible teaches us right here is that that is not reverence for God. It's irreverence. And so what we're hearing today is maybe I'm just fooling myself. Maybe I'm showing him less respect than he deserves. Maybe it's been a long time since I've been in awe of who he is and what he has purchased on my behalf. So if I can look at my life and I can see that I am honestly trying to bring glory to God in everything that I say and do, then I can demonstrate, just like Peter says, I'm living with reverent fear. I'm conducting myself in ways that truly matter. Apart from that, it's simply not the case. And so I want you to think with me for a moment. Where are you in this process of fearing God? The Bible says we all should fear God. There are those who look at him as judge only, who would like to cower in a corner when it comes to, if God is really God and I don't live my life for him, I've not received him as my hope, my Savior, then that terrifies me. Maybe you sit here today that way. Maybe you come in today and you say, you know, I just don't believe. Yeah, Corey, that's fine. You can say whatever you want to say. I've heard a third of it. I'm daydreaming. I'm tired. I just don't believe it the way you're telling it. That's fine. And you can believe it however you want to believe it. But here's the reality of the matter. Just because I don't believe something doesn't change the fact that it's true. Right? I could believe I'm a 7 foot, 400 pound Hispanic woman. Does that make it true? No, it doesn't make it true. I can believe to the core of my being that 1 plus 1 equals 3. But it doesn't change the fact that 1 plus 1 equals 2. And I can believe, and I could tell you, I can go out here right now and say, that sky is pink. Yes, it is. And I'm almost stubborn enough to act in ways like that sometimes. Some of you are too. Just because I believe it's pink doesn't change the fact that it's what? Blue. We've all got beliefs. You can believe whatever you want to believe. God has created us with that freedom. What I'm saying is, just because I believe something doesn't mean it's true. And just because I don't believe something doesn't change the fact that it is true. And so I can sit here today and say, you know what, this God stuff, I just don't think it's real. But that doesn't change the fact that God is worthy of my reverence. He's worthy of my full life and devotion. He's worthy of everything that I could give him. And that's the truth of the matter here at this point. So if that's true, let's say God is God. And what that would mean, that God is not only God, but then God is also judge. So as it stands between you and God right now, how would that work out for you? Is God looking at you as someone who's been forgiven? Is God looking at you as someone who's trying to do it their own way? Thinking their own thoughts, believing their own system, dreaming, living their own dream. If God is God, how do I know he's God? And if this tells me who God is, then you know what else it tells me? It tells me that he's my judge. And all of us are going to be judged different ways. Every one of us will be judged according to our works. Those who don't believe, the Bible teaches, will be separated forever from God in a place called hell. And those who do believe will be welcomed to him as family to eternally abide with him. Now listen to me. My goal was not to terrify you of hell. I fully believe heaven is not a place for those who are afraid of hell. Nobody wants to go to hell, do you? Do I? If hell's real, I don't want to be there. Nobody wants to go there. Nobody wants to be eternally separated. And so what is heaven? Then heaven's a place for people who believe in God and his son Jesus Christ and who love him and live their life to honor him. And that's it. So maybe somewhere along the way you've been sold fire insurance. You pray this prayer and it gets you into heaven. And you've bought a lie. Because there is no such prayer in the Bible. the way to the Father is not through a prayer, memorized recitation. Repeat this after me. The way to the Father is only through Jesus Christ. Believing in Him, repenting of your sin, asking Him to save you. Now, does that require prayer? Well, we pray, but it's not just some words on a piece of paper. There's much more to it than that. So maybe you're here today and you'd say, you know, I just see God. If that's who He is, then He's my judge and I stand condemned. We all would. I'm no different than you. The difference could be the refrain of that third song we sang today. The difference could be my chains are gone. I've been set free. And that's entirely because of what Jesus has done on my behalf. My faith in Him is my Savior. Maybe you sit here today and think there's some decisions you need to make. Maybe you sit here today and you say, you know, there's some things I just need to think through. Listen, I've shared this before. There was a gentleman in a church that was in his 80s that we were at in the early, like 2001. Been in church all of his life. Comes to pray with the pastor one Sunday night. And we all thought he was praying for his family member who was sick. And this man gets up and turns around to people that we all thought we were family. And he said, I've just received Jesus as my Savior. Grew up in church, sat in pews, sang songs, gave money, helped build buildings, performed programs. Never asked Jesus to save him. Never trusted in Him as his only hope. So let's not think for a minute that we're not talking to those who may attend here regularly. Maybe you feel like there's just some decisions you need to make or some things you want to think through. Here's the scripture I want to leave you with before we pray. Jesus gives us some great counsel as it relates to fear. He says in Luke 12:5, I will show you whom you should fear. Fear Him who, after your body has been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you to fear Him. Yes, I tell you to fear Him.